So anyway, good to have you here. I'm staying up here. I wanted to teach from downstairs, but our guys are remoting it for the camera and such. And so I'm staying up here because of the lights, et cetera. But anyway, we're going to get in the Word. I'll explain a little bit what we're going to be doing. But again, good to have you here. Shannon, it's been good to have you here. Now, you're leaving on Tuesday, right? All right. Heading back to Ohio. Is that where you're going to? Ohio. Do you like Ohio better than California? That's not a fair question. Then I retract the question. It's just, you've heard. Yes. Well, that's, and so he's there. He doesn't know. He's probably not even watching tonight. So you could just go ahead. No, I think I've told you this before. My dad was from Ohio. We're watching any kind of sport. I mean, it's basketball, it's football. And one of the players would do something, and Dad would look at me and go, he's from Ohio, you know. You know, we'd watch a football game 14 times out here. He's from Ohio, you know. It's like, it's okay, Dad. I'm from California. We're just, and it's your fault, Dad, that I'm from California, so. Anyway, but it's been good to have you. It's been good to have you here. So, all right. Take your Bibles. We're going to be going back to 2 Corinthians, but not to chapter 12 tonight. We're going to be going to chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I will explain. Okay? All right. Larry, has it been good to have the grandkids? Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide tonight. Lord, I ask that once again you'd give us wisdom, give us ears to hear, and a heart to understand. Your will be done in our lives. Lord, help us to be mindful of the days that we live in right now, and what our response ought to be. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I learned a lesson last week, or let's put it this way. You're going to find out whether or not I learned the lesson. My message was supposed to be shorter last Sunday night. I wound up preaching for 50 minutes. So everybody get your timers going on your cell phones. Lord willing, I'm going to be done sooner because I'd like some ice cream too. And I don't want to completely cover this tonight. I'd like to keep this going. Let me explain for those of you that weren't here. 6 years ago, I decided I wanted to spend a copious amount of time on spiritual warfare. It's always been something that's been near and dear to my heart. And so I wound up spending, 6 years ago, I wound up spending a year on spiritual warfare. Well, I'm not sad that I did that. But now that we look around at what is going on now, and it's like, you know, there are a few things that we need to touch base on again. Now, I'm not re-preaching what I preached back then. Obviously, we'll be in some scripture eventually in all that. But I want to cover a couple of thoughts tonight that ought to be near and dear to us. And just for the sake of being able to go through these days, have biblical truth that we can lay hold on and rest in, quite honestly. So that's what we're going to be doing. There's a guy by the name of Jim Berg that was in Bible college when my wife and I were there. He was a great guy. He was also there at the same time that, and all of a sudden his name is Ron Hamilton, was there. And so Ron went on to do the Patch the Pirate music and such. Well, Jim Berg wound up going the direction of dealing a lot with spiritual warfare, with helping people who were having difficulty navigating life, etc., and teaching them to do it very, very biblically. He put together a synopsis, a statement, if you will, that people ought to have daily because of the promises of God. And remember, in a few weeks, I'm going to be starting this series, practicing the promise, or standing on the promises. So he would say, okay, this is what you ought to do. When you get up in the morning, you ought to have yourself an attitude check. And I like this. This is a good attitude check. Number one, well, actually, today will be a good day because. Today will be a good day because, number one, God is with me as He promised. Now, that's good. That's good. And that's right, by the way. God is with me as He promised. He will meet my every genuine need. That's biblical. And again, down the road, we're going to be going through that. Number three, I can fellowship with Him at a moment's notice. I can fellowship with Him at a moment's notice. Number four, He will, as we saw this morning, He will show me His love and grace. He will show me His love and grace. And then lastly, number five, He will be more than enough for me today. He will be more than enough for me today. I'm gleaning somewhat tonight from some notes that I have a big time habit of giving to people just to be an encouragement, just to help out, to have this kind of an attitude. The title of the message tonight is Every Thought Captive. And if I'm going to get into the situation, I better open my Bible to the scripture that I'm going to be in. Here we go. Look, if you would please, 2 Corinthians 10, look at verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. There were some people that accused Paul of this, that, you know, he's not that big of a guy, you know, when he's there with you, but then he talks big when he's absent. Well, Paul was a servant of God. They needed to understand that, and he was trying to help them understand. Verse 2, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Then he goes on to say this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, let me stop right there. Indeed, there ought to be an attitude check. I try to do it much. I don't do it every morning, but I do it most mornings. I'm reminding myself about my God. That's, again, one of the reasons why we're going to be going to the series Standing on the Promises. Because that's exactly where we ought to be. We don't have to force God to do that. Our God is with us. But that will be for later on. But not only ought we to have an attitude check, we need to have a reality check. Now, we're Americans. Americans, by culture, are political people. We're like that. We have a representative form of government, which is the best as far as I'm concerned. A representative form of government. But here's the problem that we wind up dealing with. Satan has the ability of taking our strengths. Instead of getting us through our weaknesses, he gets us through our strengths. And what we wind up doing is this. See, in America, not everybody's a Christian. Amen. Not everybody's a Christian. You might have noticed that when you drove here this evening, you know, with people in their road rage and all that. Not everybody's a Christian. And because of that, there winds up at times being mindsets, and we've seen it plenty, in things such as politics. And we can wind up getting pulled into things that are absolutely of the flesh. I've noticed this directing California Capital Connection. And so it's a battle to remember that song that we sing, "This World Is Not My Home." It's a battle to remind ourselves that the main thing, you know the old adage, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing for Christians is the gospel. The main thing is the glory of God. It's like Lester Roloff said, you want to save America? Save America. By that he meant, you want to save America? See Americans get saved. Change the hearts of individual people. There is a reality check that we need to come to. Look again at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we're here. I mean, this is it. We do not war after the flesh. Our enemy is not a political party that doesn't disagree, that disagrees with us, I should say. There are people there in certain areas that take a very unbiblical stance when it comes to things in the Scripture. We are to tackle those things on a spiritual plane. On a spiritual plane. But for right now, let's just take note. We need to recognize a reality check. We do not war after the flesh. Now look at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, that passage right there has so much in it, we're not going to dig out every nugget tonight. That's going to be for later on. What I do want us to do, though, is to take note of a couple of things tonight. You read again, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Like I have shared with people time and again, Satan's strongholds are thoughts. Satan's strongholds are thoughts. In some ways, my attitude about that statement is this. If you don't remember anything else from tonight, remember that. The reason is, I myself, as the church knows, have gone through, you know, a little over 20 years ago, a situation where I found myself believing lies of the devil. I remember the gentleman, the pastor, Jim Binney, that was a, he's a counselor to pastors, who I spent time with, I've been in touch with recently. He's one of my best friends. He's a great guy. He said this. He was at our church here, and this place was filled with men. And he looked and he said, every man in this building believes at least one lie. Wow. I mean, that was stunning. But you know, there's so many places where Satan can inject something into our life where we're not quite right when it comes to what the Bible states. In fact, when we get together on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, it doesn't matter. When we get together, when you open your Bible and you read it daily, one of the things that we need to be looking for is there something in my life that is contrary to truth that is found in God's Word? Is there a command that I have completely distorted? Is there something about God that I am believing that isn't true about God? Now, I'm telling you, it's easier than you think to do exactly that. Satan's strongholds are thoughts. Guard your thoughts. Because what happens is your thoughts become ingrained and become your character. And as somebody has said before, your character becomes your destiny. Therefore, if Satan's strongholds are thoughts, then we need to allow those thoughts to be examined by God's Word. Go to James chapter 4, would you please? James chapter 4. I'm going to catch James in mid-thought here, but I want to get to right to this point right here. Look at verse 6, James 4. James writes, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. All right. There's something that needs to change. There's something that needs to be corrected. There's something that needs to be investigated. Question. What do we do? Do we have a proud heart? Absolutely not. What we do is we submit ourselves to God. He says, listen, God resists the proud. If you've already made up your mind what kind of God we have, and you're not going to let that be changed by the Word of God, you're going to be in a world of hurt. He says, this is what you do. You humble yourself. And God will give you grace to see. He will give you grace to help. Look at verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Now, you're not going to get the problem taken care of unless you give copious amounts of thought and surrender to verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, there are people that read that, resist the devil, and he will flee. Oh, there we go. But it's not going to happen unless we submit ourselves to God. Look at verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Now, I love that portion right there. I love the thought of getting close to God, drawing nigh to Him, and recognizing that He's nearby me. But the first thing that I need to do is submit. The first thing that you need to do. Now, one of the reasons why I started with this is this. There's much when it comes to this spiritual warfare, and we think of the armor of God and so much of that and the wiles of the devil. It comes down to what we are thinking. What we're thinking. Because we at times have allowed stuff to come in and just kind of settle in with us. Roger and I like to debate computers. I believe that IBM stands for I'm becoming a Mac. You know? But there's one thing that we can agree on. One of the things that gets all kinds of computers, no matter which they are, into trouble is when junk gets in there. And it doesn't get cleaned out. And if it don't get cleaned out, there can be a hassle. Even with a Mac. You've got to make sure, you know, stuff that's not, that ought not to be there gets moved out of there. It's the same thing with the Christian life. So in this, the first thing that we need to do is recognize that the place that Satan gets into us is our thought life. What was it? Again, we can go back to this and we can draw so much. I'm telling you, this year, Genesis 3 has absolutely exploded for me. Because there's so much that's there that paints out why we're here, you know, in our situation. What was it that Satan did with Eve? He challenged what she thought about God. Yea, hath God said. And there's so much more that you can put into that. But when you stop and you study world history and the gods of nations, and you recognize the ideas they had of their gods, you can get that when you're reading the Old Testament. And you hear what other nations say, not only about the God of Israel, but their gods. Oh, you know, they beat us because their gods are the gods of the valleys and ours is the gods of the mountains. No, God is God. Amen? He's the God of the universe. So we've got to get this in mind. We've got to keep this in mind. Satan's strongholds are thoughts. Now, here is a challenge, and go back if you would please. Excuse me. Go back if you would please to James. Maybe you're still there. I don't know. Look at James chapter 1. Look at verse 8. This is a verse that spoke volumes to me. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, what the Lord gives us in Romans 12, what we find out, is a renewed mind. God goes to work in our hearts and in our minds. And He, through the Scripture, begins to take us and get us to think rightly. But if we're not careful, if we are not surrendered, submit yourselves therefore to God, if we're not surrendered, if we're taking in junk into our thoughts, we wind up being a double-minded person, literally a vacillating spirit. I call it the Gilligan syndrome. Now, it's time for confession. How many of you have ever enjoyed Gilligan's Island? Raise your hand. All right, very good. Thank you. You know, we ought to have an invitation right now. Here's Gilligan. The professor's right. Mr. Howell's right. Ginger's right. Yeah, on and on and on. Well, whoever was talking, well, they're right. Now, that kind of simplifies it and makes it a little silly. But we wind up in a situation where we're thinking that what's right is what is in front of us at the moment. No, it's what does the Bible say? Double-mindedness is another way of saying we're wishy-washy when it comes to what we believe. We're not settled. And when we get into the Scripture, we need to recognize that part of the goal of that is to get settled. Read the Scripture. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Let faith take root and grow. Double-mindedness is quoting the Word of God with your mouth and not really expecting it to come to pass. There is doubt and unbelief that is really the ruler of our hearts. Is Satan stronger than God? What? Are you sure? Now, you gotta stop and consider this. How often have Christians acted like, no, they're on par. Christ and Satan, you know, they're right there. You know, we look at the Mormons and we go, oh my soul, I can't believe they believe that, you know, they're half brothers. But we wind up acting like sometimes like, you know, they're right there. Now listen, we don't treat Satan like he's just some little imp. We don't do that. We always go at him in the power of God. But Satan is a defeated foe. He was defeated 2,000 years ago. You know what he has at his disposal? The lie. The lie. And for that, we wind up getting tripped up. So we need to get this settled in our hearts. There are things that need to be put together in us scripturally. We don't do it. The Holy Spirit does it as we are rightly dividing the word of truth. Sometimes we just don't realize that, wow, I didn't have that straight. I love this story. There was a guy by the name of Herb Jackson. Herb Jackson became a missionary. He went to a field. He's going to work there. And they gave him a car to use. Except there's a problem. It has difficulty getting started. In order to get it started, you need to push it. And in order to do that, you have some archaic thing that some of us honestly miss called a clutch. Right? You know, it's one of those things that if they brought it back, millennials wouldn't know how to drive. So he thought, okay, this is what I'm going to do. He got permission to get some students to go out and help him push the car in the place where he was working. Got it pushed, got the thing started, and then when he would go out, he would do one of two things. He would either park on a hill or he would leave the motor running, you know, go in and do whatever he's got to do, then get out and take off. He was there for 2 years. Here came another missionary. He's leaving. 2 years later, this guy's going to be taking over. And so Herb Jackson starts telling the new missionary, okay, this is how you work with the car. They got the hood up. And the new guy goes, oh, wait a minute, Brother Jackson. I think here's the problem. And he reaches in and grabs a cable and sets it down and tightens it up and hits the start button. Now, you know, we wind up sometimes complicating ourselves and complicating our lives because we don't believe a promise of God. Satan has gotten us to where we're not thinking right. We don't believe. Go to Ephesians 1, would you please? Ephesians 1. And we're going to be stopping here soon. Somebody please write that down and remind me. Look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now notice that. Remember Psalm 119:18? Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I love praying that psalm. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. Boy, here's some things that are good to know. What is the hope of his calling? And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Now listen. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Now listen to verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Listen to that. Do you realize that the power that I just read about is the same power that resides in us? Now, this is why we need to think on these things. This is why we need to allow the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and change our thinking. I am telling you, based on personal experience and just being a Christian, dealing with other Christians, not just dealing with myself, and getting into the Word of God, that I believe that Satan's greatest tool is the lies that he puts right here. Their thoughts. Satan's strongholds are thoughts. The enemy is real, but he's a defeated foe. Now, what I want to do is I want to stop right there, because we're going to continue in this. We're going to be talking about strongholds later on. I want to get into detail on that. What kind of a stronghold can we have? What is it that can wind up being there? Sometimes we wind up thinking stuff and we think, well, it's so innocuous. It is not. It is not. It can grow. It can fester. And next thing you know, we're not believing things about God or our fellow believers, the local church. We're not believing things that really we ought to be believing. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we continue this study on strongholds and thinking properly, that you indeed would open our eyes, help us to see biblical truth. Pray that you bless our fellowship now. Lord, thank you for those that are here. Your will be done in our lives. Lord, this week, I pray that we would be mindful as we're listening to your word, reading your word. Lord, that we would be mindful of anything that needs to change in our thoughts about you, about your word. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.